بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والجنة للوحدين، ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى once again for granting us the opportunity that we're able to worship Him, that we're able to understand this beautiful deen, and place salawat and taslim upon the Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as a means of blessings. The last time we concluded by speaking about the assistance that the Nabi alayhi salam gave in reconstructing the Kaaba. Of course, like we mentioned, the ulama, they differ on whether the Kaaba, who built it the first. So some of the ulama, at least majority of them, they agree that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one that built the Kaaba, and then people go further, some ulama go further speaking about Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and then of course other ulama say it was the malaika that built the Kaaba al-Musharrafa. The point being is that indeed this is a blessed place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, and that is Bakkah, bi-Bakkatin Mubarakah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it as a place that is blessed. Today inshallah ta'ala, just to discuss, we recap on what we covered the last week. Today inshallah ta'ala we go on and we speak about the life of the Rabbi alayhi sallam when specifically came to seclusion, khalwa. Now the Rabbi alayhi sallam, just before the age of 40, the Rabbi alayhi sallam, while married to Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, he was a person that was very to himself to a certain level. He did not like too much of going out, and he did not like too much of enjoyment and all of these things. So the Nabi alayhi sallam loved his time alone. He loved his time with his family. He loved his time for all of these different things. But also, it's very important to always also not forget about yourself. You know, sometimes in life, we become so busy that we help in this one, we assist in that one, and we just forget about ourselves. And that is a problem, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want change, in Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim, that if we want change for ourselves, it starts with ourselves, and they, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will grant us change. Now, one of the significant things that we see in the life of the Nabi alayhi salam, before the revelation, the Nabi alayhi salam used to love to go to one of the mountains which had a cave called Hira, Ghar Hira. And the Nabi alayhi salam loved his seclusion there. He would take out time in order to sit with himself, ponder, contemplate, and all of these beautiful things. And in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least in Islam, it is encouraged to do khalwa. It's encouraged to have just that time for yourself. Because what happens, if a person secludes himself from community, from the people, he starts to ponder about himself. He starts to think and measure his deeds, he tries to make muhasabah, hold himself accountable. All of these things happens within seclusion. And I would encourage, if you can today or you can tomorrow, whenever, what day you choose, just for 1 hour, cut yourself off completely from the dunya. Put your phone away, don't put it on vibrant, put it off. Take your computer away, take your laptop away, put off the TV. And also, of course, with the due respect that you ask, then tell that your family, whether it's your wife, whether it's your children, that you would like to spend just 1 hour alone. So Imam Shafi says that if you want to be granted these beautiful things of your chest being open, your heart being open, and to be granted the rizq of ilm from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the person has to go in seclusion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ اللَّهُ. Have the taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will teach you. Al-Imam al-Ghazali, he says, أَمَّا الْخَلْوَى فَفَائِدَتُهَا دَفْعِ الشَّوَاخِلِ. What does khalwa benefit? Khalwa is then order to take your mind off the problems of the dunya, to just free your mind, free your spirit. That is what khalwa is basically about. وَضَبْتُ السَّمْعُ وَالْبَصَرِ. And also to confine your hearing and your seeing. Because when you're alone, you hear nothing, you see nothing. The only thing that you're going to hear is maybe your heartbeat, the way you breathe, and your own voice, if you speak to yourself, of course. That's another case. But you're not going to hear anybody, you're not going to see anybody. So he says, this is to confine also the hearing and the basar. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of Qiyamah, we are going to be held responsible for every single small thing. What we hear, what we see, what we feel, what we do, all of these different things. I mean, our julud, our skins are going to testify against us on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah grant it, not against us, but for us. And of course, your hearing, your sight, all of these things are going to testify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on what you have been doing. and hearing and seeing are gateways in order for us to gain information. Everything that goes in, it comes through either hearing or seeing, and of course taste and feel and all of the other senses. But these are methods in order for a person to absorb things. So he says that in order for a person, the khalwa is there to benefit what? To confine that absorbness, that you do not absorb anything per se. So he says, فَإِنَّهُمَا دَهْلِيزِ الْقَلْبِ. It basically purifies the heart, this method. Why? Because the samar and the basar, they can corrupt the heart. We know that. Allah the Nabi alayhi salam said in the hadith, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَيَا الْقَلْبُ. That there's a piece of flesh within the body, that if that piece of flesh is pure and good, the rest of the body will be pure and good. And the body receives these things through what? Through its senses. So he says that the senses can cause what? The tahliz al-qalb, that it can, you know, shake the heart. وَالْقَلْبُ فِي حُكُمْ حَوْضًا تُنْصِبُ إِلَيْهِ مِيَاهْ كَرِيهَا. He says the qalb, the heart, is like in a bucket of water, he says, and the person throws this dunya, basically is the bucket, and your heart is in there. And he says that whatever you receive of the dunya, it can be very corrupted, it can be very evil, it can be all of these different things. So that is absorbed through what? Through your hearing and your sight, and it goes to your heart. He says, kariha karda kadira min anna al-hawas, because it comes from your senses. So your heart is like that thing that absorbs everything, and your hearing and your senses are methods and tools in order to get that supposedly like dirty water. He says, he used the example of dirty water, that it will enter into that thing by these two things. إِلَى الْقَلْبِ, to the heart, he says. وَمَقْصُودَ الرِّيَارَ تَفْرِيغِ الْحَوْضُ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْمِيَةِ. And he says, khalwa, this whole process of khalwa is in order to purify that water and cleanse it. Because a person, he says, a person will never be able to clean a bucket if you're continuously throwing that dirty water all the time, meaning you're exposed to certain things that are dirty. So he says, so that khalwa grants you that opportunity to stop and block the water that's coming that is dirty, and it gives you the opportunity to drain all of that evil or that corruption that you find, the fasad, out of the person's heart, out of the person's soul, out of the person's body. And he says, this is what khalwa grants you, that cleansiness. And he says, وَمِنَ الطِّينَ الْحَاصِلُ مِنْهَا. And sometimes also, like example, in order to clean a bucket, maybe it has water and it has sand. You can't continuously throw sand in and water that has sand in and think that you can clean the bucket, because it's not going to happen that way. You have to pause and stop. So he says, this is how you clean the tin, the dirt from it. And he said, لِيَتَفَجَّرُ أَصْلِ الْحَوْضُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ النَّظِيفُ. Why? To get to the origin state of the bucket. And what is that? Clean. So he gets to the origin, cleans everything. The dirt is out, the water is out, whatever is out. And now you see the purity of that heart. You see the purity of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Because he created us on fitrah, which is natural inclination towards good, to worship in him, to his tawheed, to his ibadah, to his ta'ah, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ليخرج منه الماء النظيف الطاهر وكيف يصح لو أن ينزح الماء من الحوض والأنهار مفتوحة إليه. He says, how can you clean a bucket when rivers are flowing in the bucket? Because this dunya is like that. It's dunya, there is no end to it, and nobody will be able to overpower the dunya. People came, kings and queens came and went, and still nobody was able to overpower this dunya. So therefore he says that it's like a river that's continuously flowing within the heart. You have to first block that stream, and after you'll be able to cleanse the heart. وَلَيْسَ يَتِمُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِالْخَلْوَى. He says, and that cannot happen except by seclusion, that you take time for yourself, you sit alone and you make the tadabbur. And this one is al-ihya ulumuddin. فَالْخَلْوَةُ لَهَا تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ. It purifies the soul, the khalwa. وَزِيَادَةُ الْفَهْمِ. And it grants you increasement in understanding. Because we know that Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, he was not a Nabi, but he was a person that was most of the time alone. He secluded himself from people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him certain knowledge. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, he says, عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he was a slave from our slaves. We granted him, we gave him some rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ, and we taught him مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا, we gave him knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we know, like I mentioned that ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will teach you. And in khalwa, you are conscious of yourself and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're thinking about what you have done, you're thinking about all your deeds, you're making muhasabah for yourself, you're holding yourself accountable. And also khalwa is not just holding one person accountable, but it's also to increase your understanding and your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see all of these signs, and it increases in your iman and your tawheed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which naturally increases your love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam Junaid al-Baghdadi, it was asked one day, Bima nilta ma nilta, how did you get what you got? Because Al-Imam Junaid al-Baghdadi was one of the greatest ulama, not only ulama, but the arifin billah azza wa jal. So they asked him, how did you get what you get? And he says, فَقَالَ بِجُلُوسِ تَحْتَ تِلْكَ الدَّرَجَةَ 30 سَنَةً. He says, by sitting under that place, it was a tree, by sitting under that place for 30 years, just himself. It's just looking around, looking at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at the jibal, the mountains, looking at the skies, looking at the clouds, looking at the animals, you know, just making that tadabbur and increasement in your conviction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhasaba, like we said, is very important, holding yourself accountable, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Oh, you who believe, have that taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and see what have you prepared for tomorrow. See what yourself, see what have I done? What am I considered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our ulama always used to say, the most important question that you need to ask yourself at the end of the day, كَيْفَ حَالُكَ مَعَ اللَّهِ. How are you? How is your state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is the most important question. So this is in order for a person to be granted that opportunity to hold himself accountable. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَوْقَهُمْ كَيْفَ بَنَيْنَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says another ayah, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ لِإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفَعَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they not look? This is what seclusion helps also, that increasement in your tadabbur and your understanding and your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they not look at the sama that is above them, how we constructed it? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ. Do they not look at the camel, how it was created? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ, and how the sama is lifted up. وَالْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ, and how the earth is nice and flat. All of these things are ayat min ayati Allah azza wa jal. It is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized about tazkiyat nafs, purifying one's soul, on so many occasions. One of the ayat that comes to mind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the mission of the Nabi? And this is the mission of the Nabi. Allah says, we have placed the favor upon the true believers, for we have sent to them a prophet from themselves. He recites the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. Does it end there? To know just the Quran, to know the revelation? No. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he also purifies him. That's the most important thing. It's like a person, if they do not have, if it's just information with no transformation, then the person is كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. It's like a donkey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's carrying books, because their books cannot benefit him, ilm cannot benefit him. So therefore, it's not just the ayat, but it's also that tazkiyah, that purification that a person needs in order to purify and come to a daraja that is loved and satisfied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And this is another important point of خلوة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed the one that has received success is the one that has purified himself. But what does he do? وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى, and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dhikrullah, very important. Very important when it comes to the khalwa. That you don't just make muhasabah, you don't just ponder upon the creation, but you say your creator's name. You make dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim, use all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make salawat upon the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you know salawat is one of the most seldom things that it's always accepted no matter what state you are. Like salah, you have to have wudu, siyam, you have to not eat, and you have to all of these different conditions that is in place. Zakah, you have to reach to a certain amount. When it comes to salawat, which is an ibadah, because Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Oh, you who believe, make salawat upon the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. So it's a commandment, it's an order, so it's an act of worship, it's an ibadah. So that one ibadah is accepted no matter what state you are in. And the Nabi responds to you no matter what state you are. Subhanallah. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So making salawat upon the Nabi alayhi salam. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, his famous call, he used to always say, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوا أعمالكم قبل أن توزنوا عليكم. He says, hold yourself accountable today, before tomorrow you're going to be held accountable. When is that? On the day of Qiyamah, in the Qabr, when you're going to be questioned about everything that you have done. And he says, وزنوا أعمالكم, and weigh your deeds. Mean, think about it, measure, see, what have I been doing? Is it, can I improve? Am I doing something wrong? What can I do? Because a person that thinks that he has really perfected something, unfortunately, that person is incorrect. Why? Because human beings were created in order to always develop. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us imperfect. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. So all the time you're developing, and no matter what stage you come to, you can still develop further. So he says that weigh and hold yourself accountable, weigh your deeds, see how it is, قبل أن توزن عليكم, before it is weighed for you. Meaning what? On the day of Qiyamah again, huh? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to weigh all of our deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Holy Quran, يَا يُلَّذِينَ أَمُنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Oh, you who believe, have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and see what have you prepared for tomorrow. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and have the taqwa, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you do this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of everything that we do. There is nothing that can escape the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صَغِيرَةً أَوْ كَبِيرَةً, whether it's small or big, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. What was, what is, what will be, and what cannot be in existence. If it had to be in existence, how it would be in existence. Allah knows everything, Jamaatul Muslimin. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we do on this dunya. It is up to us in order to find out what exactly we need to do to change. Because Allah knows that it is our situation. Allah knows our hal. It's important for us. Do we know our own hal? Do we know what state are we by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I known as a sadiq? Am I known as a sabir? Am I known as a mu'min? Am I known as all of these beautiful names? Or am I known as al-kadhib? Or am I known as al-kaslan? Or am I known as all of these other bad things, whether I'm lazy, whether I'm a person that is a liar, whether I'm a cheat, whether I'm a fraud, all of these things are very important. And they say the first step in order for a person to change is to identify the problem. If a person thinks that there's no problems, they will never be able to improve. Why? Because they will stay in that state every single day. And the Rabbi alayhi salam said, lost is a person that does exactly the same thing. Every day. So meaning he does something now and then he does the same thing tomorrow. The Rabbi said, that person is at a loss. So therefore it's very important to hold ourselves accountable. And indeed, no doubt that this is one of the indications to show the Aidama, the greatness of the Rabbi alayhi salam, that even before revelation that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced khalwa. Why? Because that is Allah trained the Nabi alayhi salam. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleansed the heart and the chest of the Nabi alayhi salam. Because the Anbiya, they are ma'soom, they are sinless. And as well as the Nabi alayhi salam, sinless. So therefore, this was the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala groomed the Nabi alayhi salam to always be in the seclusion and holding himself accountable. Because to solve problems, you have to stand one side and see the problem. If you want to solve a problem and you're within the problem and you're part of the problem, you will never be able to solve the problem. That's why, for instance, we find couples when they have huge arguments, there's always a third person that comes and he sits with them and he speaks to them and he has a consolation with them and all of these things. So therefore, it's always important to take a step back and then you will see what will happen, and it gives you a much more bigger perspective and a better perspective to see exactly what is the problem, to identify the solution. And he says, وَلَن تَتَوَصَّلْ إِلَى الْخَالِقِ إِنْ حَبَسَكَ خَلْقِهِ. He says, the reason also why you cut yourself off from basically everybody in that period is that you will never be able to connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if the creation is keeping you down. There's nothing wrong connecting with creation. But if they're keeping you down and they're bounding you down and you can't go forward, you're not able to progress, then you will never be able to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore he said, cut yourself off. وَبِهَا يَزْدَادُ حُبُّكَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. And therefore with that, you will have that increasement in love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to understand, Jamaat al-Muslimin, that the seclusion that the Nabi alayhi salam performed and what is encouraged within Islam is not cutting someone completely off from society. No. It was a method of dawa. It was a method of curing, you know, because we face problems, we face situations. So khalwa is like a cure. And you only use the cure if there's a sickness. And anybody, every doctor will tell you that you don't also overdose yourself with the medicine. Why? Because then it can work against you or might not have any effect. So what we're trying to say is that khalwa, it's a cure. So a person is not encouraged to use that overboard, to go extreme, to cut himself completely off from the community, cut himself completely off from society. No, that is not what the Nabi alayhi salam did. The Nabi alayhi salam, when he went in khalwa, he would go for a few nights or a few days or a few hours, and then he comes back to Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha. He engages with his family, days go by, and he goes again for the seclusion. So what I'm saying is that a person does not cut himself and go to the extreme by thinking that you're going to live in a cave for the rest of your life. No, Islam is not an island on its own. Islam is the sea that connects the islands all together. That is what Islam is about, and that is what Islam encourages, Jamaat al-Muslimin. This process of khalwa, the ulama gave it different terminologies. One of them is tazkiyah, which is comes from zakka, meaning to purify. Another name for this is ihsan, meaning righteousness. And we find that in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when the Rabbi alayhi salam asked, mal ihsan, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak. Another term that also the ulama use is at-tasawuf, comes from the word sufiyya, meaning pure as well. That sufi comes from the word pure, to purify one's nafs, to purify one's ethics, its morals. And this is part of the deen of Islam, to purify yourself and to make sure that you have adab and akhlaq. It's very important. Islam emphasizes on this. You know, one of my professors always told me that if a person has ilm, you might have one foot in Jahannam if you have ilm, if you do not follow that ilm, of course, you know. So, but he says, but if a person has adab and akhlaq or the deen, he says, then you might have one foot in the Jannah, but not in Jahannam, in Jannah. Why? Because al-adabu fawqa al-ilm. Character, moral, ethics is above ilm. A person that has ilm with no adab and akhlaq, there's no use for that. And that's what the Nabi alayhi salam, before taking on this huge journey of nubuwa, the Nabi alayhi salam was first called what? As-Sadiq al-Amin, the most honest and most trustworthy person. That was the Nabi alayhi salam before he received divine wahi. So we find that some ulama, they give different terminologies for this process of khalwa. Some of them call it tazkiyah, which comes from purification. Others call it ihsan, from the hadith of the Rabbi alayhi salam. When Jibreel alayhi salam asked him, what is purification? At least what is ihsan? He said, it's righteousness. And also another word for it called at-tasawuf, meaning, comes from the word pure. Tasawuf means safi, comes from the word safi, meaning it's pure. Another understanding that Ibn Taymiyyah actually gives, he says, rahmatullah, he says that another understanding standing for khalwa is a suluk, meaning a path, a way that a person adapts, a way that a person takes on when it comes to his character and his morals. I just want to mention a few things, inshallah ta'ala, is that this benefits behind khalwa, so much benefits and it's countless. But some of them, the ulama, Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Shadhili, he mentioned, he says, the first thing is as-salamatu min afati lisan, that it helps you by protecting your tongue. He says as-salamatu min afati nadhar, it helps you to protect your sight. He says hifdul qalb wa sawnihi min ar-riya, it protects a person's heart from pride, from boastfulness. He says حصول الزهد في الدنيا والقناعة فيها. He says it also grants you that sense of and that feeling of satisfaction for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you away of whatever He has decreed. السلامة من صحبة الأشرار, it also protects you from mixing with the wrong folk. He says التفرغ للعبادة مع الذكر, he says this grants you the opportunity to just let yourself be alone with Allah and make dhikr, gives you that opportunity. Which وجدان حلاوة الإيمان والطاعات. He said, you will find that sweetness more in your عبادة, in your طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى with this خلوة. He says, راحة القلب والبدن. It will grant you that contentment within your heart and in your body. صيادة نفسه ودينه من الخصومات. It will also protect you from those that are trying to come for you, those that want to attack you, those that want to harm you. He says, التمكن من عبادة والتفكر والاعتبار. He says, it will grant you that opportunity to make tadabbur, to ponder and contemplate, because Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ. And one hadith comes to mind, and how important it is for a person to have that khalwa alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have that dhikr. We know the hadith that Nabi alayhi sallam says, سَبَعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّ. That there are seven people that will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the day that there will be no shade. And one of those people is رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. That a person that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and his eyes start to tear. This is what this deen is about. It's not about just the information, about the ilm. No, but it wants transformation that will lead to what? Illumination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that transformation and that illumination. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.